Today on the agenda, we have absolute IRI detection. We just need to clean up and close this issue, put a proposal down and close it. List type coercion, arrays of IRIs, and whether or not we support those. Prominence in JSON-LD. Any updates or changes to the agenda? Anything we should add or discuss that's not on it? All right, let's go ahead and get into it. So I did go through over the weekend and read through every single issue and tried to understand where the issue logger was coming from, and then come up with a solution that I thought might get consensus. And some of those have worked out well, and some of the proposals have not. So we'll just kind of handle them as we go. I guess before we start, would anyone have the time next week to do like a super session, like a 2-hour session?
Yeah.
Okay. Nicholas, do you think you'd be able to do that?
I think so. Let me double check. Tuesday. Oh, I might not be able to attend at all, but if I can, I hopefully will be able to do that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess the alternative is to go through all of the issues and say which proposals you agree with. Then and we might ask Marcus to do the same thing. At that point, we'd be able to actually make some headway.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm away that day, so it's a conference.
Okay.
But maybe I can.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe if we can have people put their thoughts in over the IRC chat or over the mailing list, then that would be best. All right. First up is
Oh, by the
oh,
way, just before we get started, my paper or my talk at Semtech Biz on JSON-LD was accepted.
Awesome. Yay,
so
congratulations.
I'll be talking
That's great.
about that in it's in June in San Francisco.
Awesome. Very cool. That's great. That's the first mention of JSON-LD at a conference.
Yeah,
So
so it should
thank you
be
for putting that in and doing that, Greg. That's
it
great.
should be timely. So
Yeah.
hopefully we'll get through some of these more of these issues by then.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get through the issues and no one will raise any more. One can always dream. Okay. Issue 46, absolute IRI detection. Here's the link to that issue. And so this issue is related to how you figure out what a relative IRI is and what an absolute IRI is. And the proposal for the issue is basically to say that if a key in a JSON-LD document contains a colon, it's a compact IRI if the prefix is defined as a term in the active context. Otherwise, then it's an absolute IRI. And just to use that simple rule to say what a So basically, we're saying that there are no relative IRIs on the left-hand side. Does that and that hopefully is in line with the discussion we had last week. Is there anyone opposed to that particular proposal? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. Let me see. Did you say anything about keys defined?
Yeah, I said if the prefix is defined as a term in the active context, and there's a colon, so if the value, sorry, if the key has a colon in it, then you split on the colon and look up the prefix in the context, and if that's there, then you expand it, or rather, you say it's a compact URI with and the prefix is defined in the context. If the prefix is not defined in the context, it's an absolute IRI. So, for example, mail to would be a good example of that.
Yeah. Well, I'd really like that safety mechanism that we did in RDFA as well.
You can't start a flash. Right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we need that safety mechanism in JSON-LD. And the reason I don't think that we need it is that I don't think someone's going to accidentally put in http://, and need it to be anything other than an absolute IRI in JSON-LD as in the key position.
But that's an argument for, because not mean it to be an absolute IRI, that's the intent of preventing double slash from triggering or preventing the expansion on anything that begins with that. One case would be that, most of this is theoretical, of course, but there is the case where you create JSON-LD from RDFA, and that RDFA in turn would be careless about using the old HTTP prefix definition for the HTTP vocabulary, for instance. That's one real case we've seen, and the same thing goes for any other protocol. Well, it's basically the exact same reasoning as we did in RDFA.
Right.
My argument here was that we don't know how the JSON-LD is going to be created here either. So if you use external definitions for prefixes, and also since we don't differ between prefixes and terms, we will have a lot more definitions which might accidentally collide with some URI scheme. In fact, the risk might be even greater than in RDFA to a certain extent.
Okay. Well, I could go either way on it. I don't. I think it's a valid argument. I don't know how high the risk is, and I think I'm concerned about us putting in features that prevent things that aren't a high risk. So I could go either way on it. Greg, Lane, do you guys have any input on this?
Well, I guess if there was some, if you could take if you were to take an RDFA document and transform it to JSON-LD, where there was the confusion in the RDFA document that prevented the thing from being interpreted as a query, and then you transform it into JSON-LD, would it now look like a query because of the environmental prefixes that were added along as well, so you would have a different interpretation? I don't know if that could happen or not.
Yeah, because the RDFA document your processor would probably convert it to JSON-LD from the triples, not from the raw text
well,
document, meaning that you'd admit an IRI. You wouldn't admit a text string.
Yes, but you'd also, you'd tend to pull over your same prefixes, right? That's what Yvonne and I both do, so that you can output a document that looks good. So if you do it, if you pull those prefixes over there and then you use those prefixes to define queries, you might be I don't know, we probably need a concrete case to really see how that would work. So I suppose there is some potential for doing that. On the other hand, it just seems at this point, and maybe it's just in the life cycle of JSON-LD, that it's adding some more complication, which might make it more difficult to get people to adopt. And I think what the advantage of your proposal is, it's very simple.
Yeah. There is an argument here that I can see us hitting this during, last call or just before last call, just like it happened in for RDFA.
So the thing is that it will go unnoticed until it appears, and then there is no way to stop it, and that's it's a really, I've been scared of this potential risk ever since last summer because of this. It looks so innocent until it really corrupts your data.
Mm-hmm.
No. And Shane also discovered, which I hadn't seen, that the widget URI scheme, which is called widget, and it's not inconceivable for someone to define at least a term called widget.
Mm-hmm.
And given that we have those intermingled,
mm-hmm.
well, there is no difference between terms and prefixes. That it feels uncomfortable to me.
Okay, so I guess in this case, then the proposal would change, that says that anything, any query that contains :// in it,
anything.
Right, it's the first any key that contains :// as the, or the two slashes following the first colon are not, it's that is an absolute IRI.
Yes.
Yeah.
Greg, would you have an issue with that, or Lane, would you have an issue with that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right, so let's see. If a key in a JSON LD document contains a colon, it is a compact IRI if the prefix is defined as a term in the active context. Otherwise, it is an absolute IRI. The only exception to this rule is if :// follows the first colon, and in that case, the value is an absolute IRI. Does that sound good?
Hold on.
I'm thinking we might reformulate this as if a key in a JSON LD document contains a colon, we should change the contains a colon in either case because it could contain more than one colon, of course.
Yeah. I think we can link, we can, well, yeah, you're right.
Well,
I was going to say, I think we can just edit the document and put the right thing in, and then people will complain if it's not the right thing. But so if a key in a JSON LD document contains a colon, it is a compact IRI. If the prefix is defined as a term in the active, oh, jeez, this is starting to get complicated.
Yeah.
So
what's the word? Do we have wording from RDFA that we could use?
We do. It's a little.
Is it worse?
Yeah. Well, how about this? We'll put the. I can resolve the proposal, and then I can we can clarify by typing.
Maybe we need to define a regex for it.
Yeah. We definitely do. We need some kind of ABNF or something.
We're going to get that for RDFA, so we can piggyback on that.
Yeah. I think that's right. I don't know if R the JSON LD is a little more forgiving than the RDFA. I think the intent was to have it be a little more forgiving than RDFA, but there might not be a good reason to do that. And we might as well get these queries kind of at least aligned to the languages that have queries aligned.
And
I wonder if we could reference RDFA. I mean, we've avoided doing that. We don't even call it a query. But in the API document, this really only needs to be on the API document. And it maybe isn't so bad to have it more closely aligned from the API document.
Right.
Like, this is a place I could imagine Marcus not entirely agreeing with the reasoning here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hmm. Well, I mean, let's go ahead and resolve it. And if Marcus thinks that there's an issue, then, you know, we can open it again or discuss it again. But even, you know, I mean, I think that there's still consensus. So unless he's like a negative one on it, we'd still end up doing it. And unfortunately, Wayne has dropped off of IRC, so we can't get plus ones or minus ones from him. All right. So is this okay? I'll go ahead and resolve it, and then we can clarify, Nicholas.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Okay. Clarification. You always split on the first colon. The rule only applies to the first colon detected in a query. All subsequent colons are allowed. Is that enough of a clarification?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, did you see my potential folding in of the not followed by double slash?
Let's see.
In the IRC there.
Yeah. If a key in the JSON-LD document contains a colon and the first colon is not followed by. What is that? Is that for the beginning of the resolution or?
Yeah, exactly. Because they, instead of having the only exception as a second sentence, we could have that.
Okay, so let's see. Just
part.
Here's a compact array. Hold on. I'm trying to copy bits and pieces here. The key in the JSON-LD diagram contains a colon, and the first colon is not followed by processing. So this...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and then we'll go ahead and clean up the minutes.
Yeah, we lost him again.
Yeah, I didn't even see him come back. So strange. That's okay. We're recording the call, so you can always subscribe after the fact. All right, so that is resolved. Let me just update the issue right now. And resolved. All right, next issue is issue 60, type coercion for lists. Oops. There we go, and then the RI for this issue is here, issue 60. So this particular issue has to do with basically changing the list syntax from at list colon true to something else. So what was suggested was at container colon list. That's the proposal. So the proposal was specify that at list type coercion occurs when in the context at container colon at list is specified. for a particular term, a compact IRI or absolute IRI. But Marcus then raised something that was pretty interesting, I think. And his suggestion was basically, let's not have an at container keyword and instead use at type at list, which I think is interesting. What do you guys think of it? His comment is all the way at the bottom of that issue there. Greg, you're on the queue.
This actually was one of the things that we considered back when we went to the at list. There were a number of different options. One of them was to include it in the type. Mm-hmm. And we at the time, we decided to not do that. And we'd have to go back and look at, have to find that in the minutes and see where that discussion occurred. Mm-hmm. But my thinking was the reason we didn't do that was it was not a type. It really wasn't a type. The type also really relates to coercion of plain strings.
Mm-hmm.
And list really relates to coercion of arrays.
Mm-hmm.
So they're different things. And mm-hmm. I think this would be an example of our just revisiting something that we had already determined.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that we want to go there.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
But we need to find we'll see if I can quickly find a reference to the issue that was discussed.
Okay. Nicholas?
Yes. This is also discussed in issue 44, the syntax. Issue 44 is about sets specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But since we intend these to be supported by the same syntax, or at least allowed to, in the future, be using the same syntax,
mm-hmm.
Marcus raised the same point there as well, and I replied on it. Actually, I think I raised it there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My second to last comment, the three last comments there, go into this specific detail.
Mm-hmm.
First, I mentioned that there is a question here whether this distinction, property, if you will, for a term definition should also be part of what I call the identity of a term.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if you have multiple terms, how do you select one of them? And this might apply to that as well.
Let's see.
For instance, you could have one term called creator and one term called creators.
Hmm.
And if you have multiple creators, you will fill that with a list. Otherwise, you will use the term creator. But that's specifically for sets, though, because in lists that wouldn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that I noticed that if we used type for this instead of the separate container, it would follow by the fact that type is considered when we determine which term to use.
I think what Greg mentioned still kind of resonates with me, in that I guess the question is, do we want to be that accurate / pedantic about this, or are we going to allow a bit of leeway here? Because I mean, right now we're already doing that, right? We do at type we kind of are a bit fuzzy with at type, right? So at type is used to set the RDF type, and it's also used to set like
string coercion.
Yeah, data type.
It's
used in three places. It's used in coercion to set the coercion value. It's used to set RDF type, and it's used to set the data type of a value.
Yes.
So we've already you know overloaded type to do multiple things. I guess the question is, where's the fuzzy gray line? Is list going too far? Is using list and set going too far? Or I don't really have a very good answer for that.
The thing is also that if you want to use coerced values, you either would use Marcus' example with the value of type being a list,
mm-hmm.
with the values being at list and the coercion type.
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually favor, if we were to go that way, I think that this notation would be clearer.
The array, the at type array notation?
No, the one I pasted in the IRC, the notation where you use an object with the key being the list and the value being date.
Oh, okay.
Those were Marcus's variations that he had specified in issue 40 for different
mm-hmm.
ways to do it.
Right.
So the thing is, so you're going to have a lot of different types of syntaxes depending upon the combinations of things that you might do. We also have a potential, what if list is specified for one term but not for another term, and both terms map to the same IRI, then you've got more complications when you do expansion versus
mm-hmm.
compaction, based upon your expanding it. You'd now merge two sets of things. When you now go to compact it, which term you select is going to determine whether there's list compaction or not. Yet another reason why I think that that should be done on the expanded IRI rather than on the individual term.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a different issue.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, there's a lot of different semantic variations that you could go through. So when you are parsing, you're going to have to, you can look for, you know, type is list, type is date, type is an array of list and date, or type is an object
mm-hmm.
of list and date. But I think we're just really making for some real potential problems in implementing the algorithms when we increase a lot of these variations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one fear I have is that we're heading down the same path that RDFA went down, which is all of these things seem fairly simple on the surface, but when you get to the final processing rules, it's incredibly difficult to figure out what's going, on. At least you can't keep the mental. You can't keep it in your head. You have to just run it against a processor to see what pops out. So I'm concerned that we're getting close to that. We need something that you can kind of look at and see, kind of tell what's going on.
I think that the syntax variation is only on the surface. There is if you use container or if you use
mm-hmm.
a complex value for type, the at type value, they mean semantically the same,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I reasonably favor container over a structured type value, because it's you have to do a lot of checking to parse it, and it's not as immediate as
mm-hmm.
looking at something and see, oh, there's the container, aha, I have to think about the structure
mm-hmm.
of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the container syntax makes sense when you've got something other than list that you might want to use.
Mm-hmm.
So container list, it allows for more options when we go forward to look at other types of options. So if we were to add set, possibly we could piggyback on that for a mechanism that indicates that things are always in an array notation. Was that the purpose of set? I've forgotten.
And I have a real, I need some way to do that, and if I don't have the support for a set, I have to do it somewhere in the API documentation, and the consumers won't readily be able to see it from the context, which is why.
So if we were to combine that with type, then it might be something like type would be set and date, and the combination of list and set would be illegal if we were to combine these together.
Yeah, exactly.
By combine, do you mean you use an object
use the array notation that I think was originally suggested on this issue.
Or the even the array or the object notation would have to restrict what you're allowed to write in a non-obvious way.
Right.
And so I think container is better. It's clearer. It's flatter. It's much more.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like we have consensus around that. At least I agree. And it sounds like Nicholas and Greg, you guys agree that it would be better to use container at this point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so there would be two proposals down here. One of them would be to adopt container colon list syntax to specify type coercion to an ordered list when used in the context, and maybe it's not really type coercion, it's more like container coercion. And then the other proposal is do not support container set right now, but ensure that its use isn't prevented in the future.
But that's a 44, right?
The key thing here is that we're not saying that we won't support set. We just haven't made a decision on that yet. We may not make a decision on that for JSON-LD 1.0, once we revisit issue 44. And in that case, we still don't want to prevent its use in the future. Does that make sense? And it could be that we have something in the future like container colon graph, but that's, far, far, far into the future.
What did you say, colon container?
Yeah, I'll type it in here, adopt container list. So that's to specify container. Okay, so that's the first one, adopt container list syntax to specify container coercion to an ordered list and specified via the context. Lane plus one minus one. As long as your internet connection is still a lot around.
I'm not even sure what's being voted on here. Sorry.
Okay. It's a container. It's basically to figure how we specify whether something should be an ordered list or not in the context.
Okay. I don't really have much of an opinion either way.
Okay. Well, then plus zero. Let's see. Okay. So that's the first one. And the second one,
That solves issue 60, right?
Yes.
I've
got two proposals to address issue 60. This is the other one. Hold on, let me put it in here.
But the issue 60 is only about list type coercion.
Let me see. Yeah, you're right.
144 mentions sets.
Yeah. Oops, I'm on the wrong one. Okay. So I will go ahead and resolve that and resolved. Okay, and then the other proposal I think that comes along with this is that we are not going to support container set at present. But Nicholas, what I'm hearing is you think that we should save that proposal for issue 44 when we discuss issue 44.
Yeah, I think so, because well, my vote for this proposal looks like that. I'm against not supporting container set at present because I want to support container set.
Yeah, okay.
But that implies that I don't want to prevent it in the future either.
Okay. So I think I confused myself because I was looking at issue 44 and copy and pasted the proposal out of issue 44 in here, but that resolves issue 60 as well. So there was, it was basically the same proposal for both of them. So, okay, issue 60 is off the table. We'll talk about issue 44 at some point in the future.
Right.
Okay. Next up is issue 54, Arrays of Our Eyes. Go, and then we have issue 54 here. So Marcus had said, you know, what do we do when you have an at ID colon and then you have an array of text strings that are basically our eyes? What do you output? And we had a couple of interesting suggestions on what types of triples we could spit out. And I think Marcus and Greg got into a very long discussion about what we could do. But I think in the end, at least I have a concern that we may be shooting ourselves in the foot by allowing this syntax, because in the beginning we had considered this syntax. So let me copy and paste what the syntax looks like here. We had considered this syntax, but the way we considered it was that you would be allowed to set properties for multiple IRIs. So let's say that you had a huge document database and you wanted to list the copyright for all of those documents. You would do ID and then you'd list all the IRIs in an array, and then the next item in there would be the property, which would be something like, you know, license or copyright line, and then you'd set the copyright for it. But we've since backed away from that mechanism. We don't support that in JSON-LD right now. But what we do allow is having an array of multiple objects, and that's how we do disjoint graphs. But that's the only special case for an array of things in ID right now. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, so there were a couple of proposals that were put out there. And one is, as I recall, when I was going through and looking at lists originally, I think when we were looking at the double array paradigm, a double array in this circumstance would make clear that you were making the subject a list. We could also basically say that list coercion is implied on ID, so that the use of that in an ID would create a list of these subjects. So in the case where ID is, where this is part of a block, which is an object with properties, it would be defining basically the subject being a list and then properties on that list. In the case where there was no, where there were no properties, you'd basically be just defining a list, which would be pretty equivalent to the way you might do those things in Turtle.
I'm having a hard time following. So are you saying that the way we do list coercion, that this might be a way
so,
that we Go ahead.
You could in Turtle. Let me type this out in Turtle. You could say, you can say this. Right. So, actually, it possible. I think you can do that in Turtle. You can do it in N3.
Mm-hmm.
That might. It's possible that it's been restricted since then. But mm-hmm. that would be sort of equivalent in here to saying, hold on.
Yes.
So if list coercion was implied, then that's what this statement would be. Of course, the RDF saying it's an RDF list is redundant, but
right.
There's and many other things they might use some provenance types of information there too.
Hmm.
Just a thought that
right.
reconciles the use of an array in this term. In a way that we already deal with.
Right. I guess my point is that there are multiple different ways that we could interpret that, and it's not clear to me what the best way of interpretation is. Meaning, I don't think we necessarily have a use case for what you just mentioned, the AB, an RDF list thing. I don't think that we have a use case for what Marcus is suggesting. So I think that we should just say that, you know, we should try and do something that is somewhat future-proof, right? So either we throw an exception if somebody does this. If they put a string value in an array of if they have an ID and they put it in an array, and that array doesn't consist entirely of objects, we either pick the first object, pick the first string in the ID array, or we do what Marcus has said and we throw an exception and say, don't use this syntax yet, because we haven't figured out exactly, you know, we don't know what we might do in the future, but for right now we know that we don't want to do anything. I think that it would be very easy for us to add some kind of feature, but I think it's premature for us to do that right now because we don't really have anyone, you know, screaming for this feature. It doesn't seem, and it adds complexity, right, to the processing rules, and we're trying to avoid that as well. Nicholas, you're
well. This,
you.
Sorry, let me. Can I just do a quick reply?
Sure. Yeah.
This does sort of relate to Marcus's thought about having a document that implements a list that you can then reference. So by doing it this form, you can have a document that contains an ID with a list of elements, and it can be you can have an URL that can be referenced from another document, which would accomplish what he was suggesting. Anyway, sorry. Nicholas, go ahead.
Yeah.
That was related to what I was thinking about because I tried to check it out in the Turtle document. I'm not sure if the example you gave is possible in Turtle. As you yourself said, it might only be notation 3. Great. I thought that it wasn't just because RDF lists are very special creatures, and I commented on issue 75 about provenance on lists at the top level in general, and I think that it's very, very much an edge case. I mean, the entire list is a very special structure, and annotating it itself is saying something about an expression which is itself very abstract and kind of technical and low level.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you can say this in Turtle because basically the production is a blank. It can be a blank node property list, or a collection. and the subject can be an IRA ref or a blank. So that does allow you to say this in Turtle. The difference between Turtle and N3 is in N3 you can declare a list without having a predicate on it. In Turtle, there must be a predicate if it's in the subject position.
But they can be. Right.
I feel like we're getting into kind of esoteric territory here. Go ahead, Nicholas.
Right. No, I was checking out. Okay, right. No, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, so my concern is that this adds some amount of complexity, right? So there's also complexity that's added because they have to understand this new, you know, kind of mechanism. And it's I would argue that it's slightly different than the disjoint graph mechanism, right? Because the disjoint graph mechanism. So Greg, what you're proposing is that if they have an array of items with ID, then it's effectively a list is implied. But
right.
If we have an ID that has an array that has objects in it, then the implied type is that it's a disjoint graph, right? And so now I'm wondering, what happens if you add a property to that, right? Is it a property off of the list and a property off of the disjoint graph? Or is it something else?
I guess my proposal is anytime you have a list if you have an ID that references an array, that it's defining a list. So we have the current usage where you have an ID defining an array of objects that define IDs that is used, I think, only for the case where you have disjoint graphs, a disjoint or a bush.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some other discussions that the use of ID in that circumstance is confusing, and perhaps we should consider replacing it with something such as data. So that would certainly reconcile this thing. It's nice to be able to have, and I think Marcus sort of goes here, a way to take legal JSON and provide a way in which it's interpreted in JSON-LD without restricting that form. Now, there are cases where I disagree with that. For instance, a literal whose value is an array. But being able to make some sense of an ID that has an array does make the language more consistent. And just saying that ID has an implied list coercion on it somewhat addresses that. That would also allow you to override that to, say, a set by coercing ID to collection set in a context, if that's something we chose to do.
Yeah, I still see a lot of complexity being added here. I mean, so to go back to what you mentioned, Greg, if we do remove the ID, you know, multi-object and array with multiple objects syntax, then we're simplifying the language, right? And that's good. That's positive. I see that as a positive. So if we only allow there to be, you know, an array, and then in that array there can be multiple objects. If we are making it such that we allow that, so we do the simplification, and then we add this extra, what I see right now as a complication, so ID, A, B, and making that automatically coerced to a list, I do think that it makes the language more uniform, like you said. But I don't know if adding that complexity is going to help the vast majority of people that are authoring documents here, right? In fact, I don't think that I've ever seen any turtle that does that does what we're talking about. any kind of turtle that I see is useful, right? I can see an example doing this, but I can't see someone actually using it for their system, for their application. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, it was just a reflection on what Greg said about if the expression for ID was allowed, the value was allowed to be a list, and by default it would be an RDF list. But if you coerced it to a set, it would be a set. I think that would imply the original ID you had, Manu, regarding using multiple subjects for the same statements, if I interpreted correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I agree with you that we should defer this. We should note that this is a possibility somewhere so that we don't forget about this perspective. Mm-hmm. Both the, is it a list as a subject or is it a macro for making multiple statements?
Mm-hmm.
But I also agree that we should reasonably defer it at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think it's quite complicated.
Mm-hmm. I think Marcus agrees with that in the issue tracker, although it's, you know, that's not without hearing Craig's argument, so who knows if he would still agree with that, or still be for the basically what he's suggesting is that we throw an exception if we detect an ID and that and it has a list, and if any item in that list is a string, we should throw an exception.
Well, so is it Greg, constrained to is it constrained to simply items in there being strings? Or is it really, I've sort of been interpreting this issue as the any use of array with ID. I mean,
well,
presuming that we address the top level issue of where we're considering something like data. Or,
mm-hmm.
It seems to me the issue is there whether it's a string or not.
Yeah. What if it's, what happens if it is an object? Or a boolean.
Right.
Yeah, it still relates. If it's objects, you still have the same problem. What is it you're declaring?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think the proposals were pick the first, pick the last, raise a error, or raise an exception.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be fine with raising an exception in that case if we have a way to deal with this. The top level issue of a bush with a context.
Okay. So the disjoint graph solution. So as long as we come up with a disjoint graph solution, that's different. Hold on, sorry.
Yeah.
So Greg,
clear,
you're saying.
Disjoint graph. But by disjoint graph, it doesn't have to be a disjoint graph, right? It just is a reference. It could still form a tree. But it's not represented as a tree, but the actual, you know, there could be the RDF that's generated could still form a tree. So disjoint graph to me sort of sounds like multiple graphs, like trig or something,
right?
Which is a use case that we've agreed to defer until the RDF working group has made up their mind on that.
Right. Okay, so I unfortunately have to run and have a discussion about JSON-LD with the RDF working group chairs. I don't think that we have enough to resolve this issue right now. I mean, I heard that Greg throwing an exception would be fine for you as long as we also figure out how we're doing this bush mechanism, this top-level bush mechanism. All right, so with the reading that you would not want to resolve this issue until we resolve that other issue?
Well, if we resolve it, if we don't resolve the other issue, then we're in a no man's land. I think they have to be considered together, or maybe we need to consider the Bush declaration first before we can make this illegal. Because otherwise, we'd be in a situation where we could not. I think we couldn't do some forms of compaction. Or no, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, then let's defer that. Well, I'll shift the agenda around so that we talk about the, I guess it's the graph, provenance and JSON-LD and how do you express a graph and that kind of stuff. Okay. All right.
68. Yeah.
Right. Yep. All right. And 63, I guess. I don't know about 68. In any case, we'll discuss it.
Provenance. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to run. Thanks, guys, for the discussion. And next week we'll try and do a super session. And I think what we might do is we'll try and do super sessions now until we clear out a lot more of these issues. Because we kind of started the ball rolling on getting JSON-LD into a working group, and now everyone's ready to start talking about a working group, and we have all these issues all of a sudden, so we need to get through them. Such is life.
Yeah.
Thanks, but, guys. Really just appreciate it.
Really quick question. When a working group starts working on it, I suppose they will still possibly change it.
Yes. Yeah.
But we have to have a solid proposal.
Yeah. Yeah, and in fact, I mean, we have much, much more of a solid proposal than what most working groups start with. I mean, just about every working group doesn't start with a proposal like we have. The other point is that we're going to pull the people that have been working on this into the working group because they are going to be the ones that can explain to the rest of the new people in the group why we made the decisions that we did. So we're hoping for not that much change when it goes to a working group.
No.
But that,
rather,
you know,
perhaps additions, but not changes.
Yeah. You never know. I mean, you know, working groups tend to... It's a sausage factory. You have no idea what, you know, can get thrown in during the process.
No.
Okay.
But I think we're fairly aligned now, so...
I think so, yeah. I think that with the... Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.